You're listening to Around Comics, episode 208.
Oh, you screwed that up.
From Chicago, this is Around Comics, the comic culture podcast, where each week our revolving panel of guests talk about everything in and around the world of comic books and comics culture. And Around Comics is recorded at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, located at 4835 Northwestern Avenue in Chicago. If you're in the area, please drop by. Hey guys, Chris Niesman here.
Hey.
Joined the last week's panel is back, Mr. Tom Caters.
We reconvened after several days. Hank had a great time at Soundstage, which is a musical talent show that his high school puts on in John. What village do you live in, John Hughesville?
Shermerville.
Sure, oh God.
Sherman.
The Jewish beatboxer.
Modest guy.
Do the best.
Oh, well, Hank, you're back.
Hi.
I think we're giving you a little bit too much mic time. It's
a lot of sugar.
It's got a serum his cranberry splash. He's popped up on sugar. It's got Soundstage Smart.
Wow. He does get a little spazzy.
Yeah. Look at him. Give him a Snickers as he got.
It's like my kids on Halloween.
I gave your kids comics and didn't know who they were.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, they were pretty cool.
They had a great time at the show.
The Spider-Man costume.
I saw them in the costumes. I was like, oh, look at that. That's awesome. And I just went to my table and got comics and said, hey, there you go. I didn't know they were
They brought
kids.
Them home.
Jack was about ready to explode.
Yeah, he was having a blast.
He was
chasing the guy. There was a guy dressed as Spider-Man running around, and he followed that guy around for probably 2 hours. Out in the hallway, he just could not get enough. He loved Spider-Man.
And then finally the Spider-Man guy turned around and goes, listen, I'm trying to get to the tail. You're totally ruining my game.
No,
all the
very,
girls are
gracious,
all right?
Good little Jack.
Can you back off?
My wife's already bought my daughter a costume for next year. She bought her a Supergirl costume for next year to wear.
Awesome.
I'm not sure what Jack will be.
Did you see Tom Stillwell's kid dressed like Hawk Girl?
No, I didn't.
That was pretty awesome.
I was going to ask her if she could explain Hot Girl's history to me.
She even had the mace and
really?
Everything. Really? Yeah,
I didn't see that. Oh, man.
Tom Stillwell was busy the entire day there. Yeah. And Tom, for people that don't know Tom Stillwell, he specializes in kids' comics. And there were so many kids at that,
a lot of kids
at that show that... He was busy all day long, which I love to see that. So
absolutely.
Every time I was zipping through the aisles and checking on
he
people,
does,
he was always busy.
What's the one book of his? Hero Brigade? Is that him?
Honor Brigade.
Or Honor Brigade. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. That's a cool book.
All age-appropriate comics.
Yeah.
So he's very passionate about that. He's also, I forget the organization that he is involved with. He's also
Unscrewed.
Unscrewed, yes. He's very active in creator rights and making sure that people get paid for the work that they do.
Getting unscrewed.
Getting unscrewed, yeah. Yeah, so Tom is a very
Can't
good guy.
Can't unscrew
so.
None.
Has he thought about perhaps preempting the screwing?
Pre-screwed?
I think they're onto that now.
That
they
found,
they were born out of screwed, and now they're trying to prevent the screw.
Nice. Mr. Mike Norton, how
Hi.
Are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good.
Good to have you back.
I'm hydrated.
You were a little dehydrated last episode.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting winded a little bit, I think.
And now I am hydrated.
Sweet. Time to second wind. All right, well, I need to remind everyone that this episode of Around Comics is sponsored by InStockTrades.com. InStockTrades.com offers a huge selection of the collected editions you need. InStockTrades is your source for trade paperbacks, deluxe hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at great discounted prices. And remember that all orders over $50 do, in fact, ship for free. I need to order my Dracula omnibus.
Tomb of Dracula?
Tomb of Dracula, yes.
Gene Colan goodness?
That's too scary for me.
Booger, booger, booger. Three-colored, oversized, beautiful goodness. And also the Electra. Omnibus. I need to pick that up as well.
If for nothing else,
Sienkiewicz.
The Sienkiewicz. Good stuff.
Electrolives. Good stuff.
Do they have like an
which you can't
appendix?
Really get in anything else?
Do they have appendix in the bag of every time you've seen the same shot of Elektra getting stabbed by Bullseye in different mediums by different artists?
Even in the movie,
even
Cell.
Can we get every single time that iconic image has been used?
Oh, it's over.
It's like Batman. You know, the pearl necklace being broken off of Batman. You know, Bruce Wayne's mother.
Not Bruce Wayne. Bruce Wayne's
mom.
Why'd
you have to go there?
Yeah. What? It's iconic imagery.
I always think of Thomas Wayne's mustache.
Well, of course, that's second on my list.
You know, when the crisis happened, I think he either gained a mustache or lost one from the original. Did he lose the mustache?
But he gained a hat.
I think John's gave him that. I think John's gave him that mustache back.
Retcon the mustache back in. Oh, and also our book club selection, the Tom B. Wayne's True Story, Swear to God. Pick that up in Stock Trades for $10.59 at in Stock Trades. And honest to God, we're gonna talk about that book, and should be coming out here this week.
Bullshit.
Mandy, we're going to talk about it.
Bully.
Right. Next time we record, we're going to be doing that. So.
Okay.
I don't believe
and then,
it. I'm not invited.
I'm trying to.
I've been reading that book for no reason. No, I'm just kidding. I haven't read it.
any ideas for what we want to do next? I would like to do Watchmen before the movie comes out. But...
Ooh.
Yeah, let's do something else.
You'll never
do something else?
Yeah.
It's only the greatest comic book ever written. Sorry.
Glad we'll talk about it.
We can talk about it. Well, what are we doing, like a biannual pick now? Maybe you should just read something like
Madman, Volume 1.
I'll tell you what,
Predator Omnibus.
I'm Predator Omnibus.
That'd be
kind
of interesting.
I'm gonna leave this one up to you. You're gonna pick our next book club selection.
Marvel Adventures, Fantastic Four.
Max Immortal.
That's good stuff. Marvel Adventures. We're gonna be talking about a little bit later in the show because we have a great email from a listener in a faraway land.
Whoa. Oz?
Yes.
Yes.
Midlothian.
The Midlothian mists.
I've been to Midlothian. There's nothing.
It's the Irish festival.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you. Let me go ahead and read this email.
Get it over with.
I think it's a.
You've teased us long enough.
I think it's a good place to start the show.
Let me read it.
I'm warning you. It is a.
I want to read it.
It's lengthy.
That's okay. I don't mind.
All right. All right, here we go. There's only pages. 7 pages.
Holy crap. I can read quickly.
What?
You want me to read this whole thing?
Is this a play that we're going to reenact again?
Dear Chris, Sal, and Tom, I'm writing to you for help and advice. Yes, Tom, I know that's my first mistake.
I'm trapped in a well. Help me.
I first discovered your podcast 3 years ago when my wife and I bought each other iPods as mutual presents to mark our move from Washington, D.C. to Romania. Fuck. Really?
Jesus Christ, man.
Are you an ambassador, maybe? My work took me to Eastern Europe, where my wife... He's a spy. Where my wife and I have been living for the past 3 years. As Americans living in Eastern Europe, we know we would be starving for English language entertainment, but I never would have guessed that a Round Comics podcast would become one of the mainstays of my entertainment regimen.
Poor bastard.
There's not a lot of shit going on in Romania, huh? During my first week in Romania, I discovered your podcast and have been a loyal listener since. Despite the fact that I haven't been a regular reader of comics since 1985... when I began high school.
That's the only comics they got in Romania.
Yeah.
Clearly, I had a lot of catching up to do, and AC helped me to understand what's been happening with comics over the past 2 decades. Now, after 3 years of hanging on each and every witty word of wisdom, from you all, I can tell someone why the 1990s may not have been a complete disaster for comics, what the heck a trade is, and useful trivia like which comic creators each of you want to make love to. Queen and Country, baby.
Yeah, baby.
That just doesn't get any less creepy. But this vast repository of info has now gotten me into real trouble, and I need your help. On a recent vacation back
in a Romanian prison.
I need 10,000 lira.
Give me your bank account number.
Is it lira in Romania?
No, that's Italy.
Yeah, sir. On a recent vacation back to the States, I visited with my young nieces who are 12 and 10 years old, respectively. The youngest surprised me when she said she had read a short comic book for kids that a teacher gave her recently and loved it. She asked me if I knew where she could get more since she knew I read comics as a kid. Being a well-informed and keen fan of AC and your spin-offs, 11 O'Clock Comics and Tom vs. The Flash, I seized the moment to help recruit the next generation of comic readers into the fold. I immediately and foolishly said that I knew all about comics, where to get them, and which ones she might like. Digging my grave even further, I told her very conservative and religious mother that she could trust me to take her daughter to the right places to check out the best kids' comics.
This is going
to
turn dark.
I probably need say no more, but I will. Apologies again, Tom. I know this is a freaking book. You see, he does listen. You see, my last experience buying a comic was in 1985 at a local comic shop that had just opened a few months earlier in my hometown of Central Florida. All of my comic collecting, skateboarding buddies...
Must have been a great experience if you quit several months after.
Immediately stopped going to 7-Eleven for comics and went to the LCS. And for 3 whole months, I had a pull list. Then the owner blacklisted me and sent me packing because, as a 14-year-old, I had the audacity to ask him to pull in all number ones and add them to my bag, 80% of which I would decline to buy each month because my allowance
was.
This
guy's an asshole.
Yeah, it wasn't big enough to accommodate my investment preferences.
I did that once.
Kristen said, email is from you.
You're 14.
When I was a kid, I seriously did that at the comic. It wasn't even a comic store. It was a store that sold martial arts equipment. And it was martial. Shut up.
Every new ninja star that comes
they
out.
They sold ninja stars and comic books. And I had
I'd have been there, dude.
I had a pull list and I bought comics. And then the one summer I joined a band and didn't want to buy comics anymore. And then like a year later, he called my house. It's like, we got kind of a big box of comics here for you to buy.
He doesn't live here anymore, click.
I did. I kind of hung up.
Can I still pick up my nunchucks?
I don't really want the comics, but...
Oh, the cemetery. We've got a nunchuck email later.
All right, nice.
Chris and Sal remember those heady days collecting every number one because we knew they would be each worth $5,000 apiece in 2008. Anyway, I moved to Germany weeks later. He left the country to get away from his comic book debt.
Not even Romania. What does this guy do? At 14,
he left for Germany? What the fuck? When the military sent my dad overseas and I never again bought a comic.
Thank you for your service. This guy
is a fucking spy. One thing that I have learned from listening to AC is that there are comics for every age and all tastes. What I don't know is which ones I can steer a 10-year-old girl toward.
Number one issues.
Who produces them, and more importantly, where can I safely take her to buy them? Do I dare take her into a local comic shop? I am scared silly that one glance from her at a Hack Slash or World War Hulk cover, and the kid may have nightmares, and her mother may blacklist me from Thanksgiving, and you may have to move to another weird Eastern Bloc country.
Yeah.
My wife and I are finally moving back to the States this month for good. I want to be invited to Thanksgiving dinner, guys. Please help. Sincerely, loquacious, loyal listener from Bosnia.
That's not Romania.
He's
this
in Bosnia now.
Know where he is.
This dude is an assassin for the CIA.
Yeah. I would say if you're concerned about taking a kid into a comic shop, maybe you could just start off by taking him to, like, a Borders.
Yeah, Borders. Yeah. There's plenty of stuff there.
And there's probably a lot more kid-friendly stuff there,
yeah,
too.
As far as books, I would say, like, a book that I always get kids is Bone.
Bone is a
kid.
Bone's
kids
very good.
Love Bone.
Yeah. Careful. Careful. Careful, Tom.
Kids love the book Bone.
There you go.
There you go.
That's better.
And when I give it to them, I say, I just boned you.
Oh.
Go tell your mom that.
Owly is a good... Owly's certainly...
Corgi. Yeah, top shelf. You know, I actually had a phone call from my brother-in-law, who has a...
From Bosnia?
No, from South Bend. It's almost
that's close.
As...
Yeah.
Rather be
hey, they're blue. They were voted
hey,
blue
hey,
this
hey,
year.
They went blue, yeah. Absolutely. But he has a 7 and 5-year-old son. Our
how
nephews.
Can he be both?
7 and 5-year-old sons, plural, plural, and a 3-month-old daughter. But I've been sending them, you know, comic books. Every time we go over there, I'll drop some comics over. And he called me. He's like, hey, we're starting to get some presents together for the boys for Christmas, and they're really enjoying comics. What should or could I buy them? And
The Filth by Grant Morrison.
Yeah, I said Tarot.
Tarot.
Mind-twisting.
The first thing that came to mind for me was Marvel Adventures, Spider-Man, and Marvel Adventures Avengers.
All the Marvel Adventures stuff, the DC,
the Johnny DC
stuff is certainly a good place to start. I think there's some good Disney... I mean, there's always still, you know, there's... Scooby-Doo stuff that's out there, the Archie stuff that is out there. I mean, there's, that stuff comes out every week.
Archie kind of promotes premarital sex, though, a little bit.
There's a hint. But there's some good Disney, there's a good Incredibles adaptation thing that they did. That
if you talk to Vince B., it's all about the Scrooge McDuck.
Scrooge McDuck?
Only old men buy Scrooge McDuck. Yeah, I'm convinced no children are paying $7.99 to get their Scrooge McDuck fix.
I would say, actually, I mean, if you go to a Borders or a Barnes & Noble bookstore, there's tons of manga that are geared towards kids, and you can flip it over and look on the back and see what age it's for, because it's all written for different ages, and
like
they
how
tell you.
Graphic is the tentacle rape?
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, is it like...
There's only one tentacle in this.
But I mean, realistically, there's tons of manga that's written specifically for 10-year-old girls. Yeah. Guys that wish they were 10-year-old girls.
Well, I only dress up like a woman because I like females.
But as far as going into a comic shop, I mean, I brought my daughter into a couple of comic shops.
Yeah, most shops aren't that.
She doesn't pay attention enough to the covers of something to get freaked out by it, and she gets freaked out by stuff like Monster House and,
I know, like, Mark, here, if someone came in with, if someone came in with their 8-year-old daughter or son here and said, hey, I want to buy some comics for my kid, what would you suggest? He's going to walk him. He actually has a huge spinner rack of all the Marvel Adventures.
What else is on here? Simpsons? He's got Simpsons comics.
I think most shops. I mean, there's always like the really bad shop.
Chippendale shop. But most of them.
Well, I would go check it out first. Probably go and take a look yourself and see what you think.
Scrolls versus Power Pack, Sonic the Hedgehog,
Wolverine Power Pack. So
he's got the Dark up there. That seems kind of oddly misplaced.
Jesus Christ! Hank.
There's tons of stuff for kids to read. But yeah, I would either go to the bookstore and look there because the manga stuff will have the age appropriateness on the back. Or go to the shop first and talk to the owner and
get him the love bone.
Bone's fantastic. Bone is awesome. Owly is awesome.
I've never had a kid say that they didn't like Bone. I've never had an adult say that they didn't.
Yeah,
like Bone.
Yeah.
The 12-year-old girl in me says Corgi.
Corgi. Yeah.
I would say the only advantage I would give to Bone over something like Owly is that Bone is one of those books that's actually, it's like a book. It's like the really, like, all really great, like, books for kids that a kid would read it and wouldn't think that this is for a kid necessarily, because it's really well, it's like an intricate sort of story.
It's well constructed.
Yeah, there's levels to it.
There's a tipping point for kids whenever they're like, ooh, this is written for kids. I don't want to read this.
Well, that's why I kind of get worried when things like Archie and Scrooge McDuck get mentioned, just because I know as a kid, trying to put myself in that headspace, I know as a kid I would look at those books and say, like, Scooby-Doo.
I'm reading American Flag.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I don't know, 10?
I didn't understand what was going on in it.
I think Bone's a good pick for like it.
You know, there was another book that came out a couple years ago that was awesome. Did you guys ever read Spiral Bound?
I don't think so.
Really, that's good. Really good and age appropriate. It's...
Well, we mentioned earlier Tom Stillwell's books. Mm-hmm. I don't know his website off the top of my head, but
Gravity
is certainly Gravity. That's in trade. You can get that. That's age appropriate.
You know what? What's
but I would say either go to the bookstore or if you're going to go to an LCS, go there first by yourself. Check it out. Talk to the owner.
This is something that gets brought up all the time. We get emailed about this. People ask us about this. I think it probably warrants putting a sticky thread on the forum of age-appropriate books.
Sure.
Not books for kids, but age-appropriate books. So let's do that. Let's create a thread on the Around Comics forum.
You've got your computer open. Do it.
I will do it. I don't want to screw up the recording here. But
what about like Transformers? I haven't read Transformers. Transmetropolitan? No, not Transmet.
Maybe like a little older kid.
A little older.
Might enjoy.
I mean, it's a girl, too. I don't know. What are girls like? Girls like puppy dogs. I don't know. What is a 10-year-old?
Give them something.
I have no
they
idea.
Don't like it. Nah, you try something
Corgi.
Else.
But,
girls
we'll,
like manga.
Girls do like manga.
Well, you know, our listeners always know more than us anyway. So we're going to... Select listeners of ours.
A little too much.
So we're going to do that. We're going to put a thread on the forum.
I think you're thinking of 11 o'clock comics. So those listeners.
That's because we listen.
Yeah.
five.
Hey, I do want to talk about a comic that I read from my childhood. Mike Norton has actually worked on
The Yellow Kid.
Badger? No. I loved it. When I was 15, reading Badger.
But one that is awesome. That is coming back, and I am really excited about, and people have talked about the relaunch of it. G.I. Joe.
Oh, okay.
I'll tell you what, the
American Hero.
I was just like, what
if you picked up the Zero issue or whatever, the $1 issue that IDW put out, which is basically previews of or preview stories of the new G.I. Joe, which I believe is going to be an ongoing and two minis. From what I saw, it's Larry Hama, or Hama, Christos Gage, and Chuck Dixon are all writing G.I. Joe. So, the art looks great, but yeah, G.I. Joe is, I'm excited about the new series.
Is there going to be a Tomas and Zaymont miniseries explaining exactly how they got all their money?
I would have loved fan to fiction.
Have
done that.
have written that story?
Would you when I did my story, I when I was at Devil's Due, I pitched a story to Josh, I think when I first started, saying, I want to do an issue about roadblock cooking. And he said, no, that's really stupid. And then they were going to cancel Frontline. He's like, you want to do your roadblock cooking thing? And I was like, okay. So Tim wrote this thing, and we put Tomax and Zaymont. We put everybody we ever wanted to do in there. And I think we could have done a Tomax and Zaymont.
Wasn't that the one with the shirtless?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the shirtless, we tried to. I can say it now that I don't work there. We tried to make it as homoerotic as we could, because you go through the.
Tried to find this issue in Backbend.
There's a scene where you're in the pit and Mainframe's at his computer, and every Joe in the background, they're walking around in couples and they're all smiling at each other, and then all what's his face the. Can't remember the
subversion of young minds.
Yeah, the dreadnought at the end takes his shirt off and greases himself up.
What was that book from the 50s? The Wortham.
Hey, Wortham. Been all over your ass.
He was right. Wortham was right.
Wortham was right. Mike Norton's corrupting children.
Want me to read this other email I see here?
Yeah, go for it.
This is from Ike. Speaking of finding people to fix pinball machines.
What?
I don't know. I think he might have been on the wrong podcast.
We talked about my friend who has an Elton John pinball machine, and it's really hard to find someone to fix it.
My father-in-law used to own the original Star Trek pinball machine.
What? The first one?
That's what he said, the original. While he was out driving one day, he passed by a shop with a large loading dock. Through the open door, he could see a bunch of pinball machines inside.
Tom Foley artist over
so here. He stopped to ask the guy about fixing a Star Trek pinball machine. I keep thinking about that scene in Goodfellas when De Niro's walking out of the warehouse full of pinball machines. The guy has said, no problem, so my father-in-law took the pinball machine back to the shop and dropped it off with the guy. I can't remember if he actually paid the guy or not, but a week later, the guy had skipped town with the Star Trek pinball machine.
He stole the Star Trek pinball machine.
And cleaned out the whole shop. He's still out there somewhere, so beware. Ike.
Oh, you got honeypotted.
What?
I think that's...
Why did we read that email?
It's like the Crankcast.
I don't know.
So this guy, boy, okay, so let me understand this.
I thought this would have something to do with G.I. Joe.
I have no idea.
So wait a second. Okay, so this guy has a loading dock filled
with
pinball machines. Someone brings in a Star Wars.
Star Trek
one.
Original Star Trek.
And he says, fuck it, I'm clearing out of town. I'm done.
This thing must be worth, it must be worth a lot of money, maybe. I don't know. What's an original Star Trek pinball machine worth?
I don't know.
I've never seen one. I don't know.
So if you know anyone with an original Star Trek pinball machine, could be a...
Who also has a lot of other pinball machines
in a warehouse with a large loading dock.
There's something fishy going on.
I hit the jackpot, my friend.
What does this have to do with
finally.
G.I. Joe?
All right.
My trap has been sprung.
Finally.
I've held onto these shitty pinball machines for years, just waiting for the day.
All 500 of these Eddie Fisher pinball machines.
Here's one from by the way, if you would like to email the show about your missing pinball machines, you can do so at info@aroundcomics.com.
This or your one secret is, life as a CIA agent.
This one is this is from Jeff. He says, "Hey guys, love the podcast. Really like the music you play during the various sections of the podcast.
Oh Christ!
Any place to find
it's
out
his email address? Chris@aroundcomics.
Is this your brother?"
any point, hey,
because you can't be real.
You know what? Mike emailed me and complimented me on a music selection.
He was just being nice.
Says, I like the music.
Any place I can find out exactly what you play during the podcast. There are some tracks I have no idea on, and
neither does anyone else.
Would really like to track
but Chris.
All I can say is if you are curious about a particular track, just email us at info@aroundcomics.com.
No, email Chris at aroundcomics.com.
Chris at aroundcomics.com.
Because Chris puts all the music into the shows now.
So. We should have a show where we each pick the music.
You know what?
There you go. That'd be kind of, there you go. Soundtrack by. I should start just listing it in the show notes.
Tom.
Yeah.
Music selection for this week's show. What do you want?
He's gonna be a list. I'd probably pick something by Big Star to go right after the Pinball Machine stuff.
Pinball Wizard.
Okay. All right. Right now, here we go. Some Big Star. Did that blow? Did that blow your mind?
That blew my mind.
That song sucked.
No, I.
You know what? I always loved the '70s show because they used the cheap trick version of a Big Star song.
That's true. Awesome. I always resented that they didn't use.
You guys
the Big
are all
Star
like
version.
Music knowledgeable. I'm a music retard.
Big Star's
so.
From my part of the country.
Number one city. That's good stuff.
If it ain't Zeppelin,
I'd
play
some. I'd play some television.
Television.
Love the television. That actually used to be the theme song for Chris Marshall's Collected Comics Library.
I enjoy their angular guitar riffs. That's a joke that only if I have two friends from high school who would listen to this, they would laugh at that. But I don't think either
only
one
they listen. Oh.
No, I don't think they listen.
Way to play to the audience, Tom.
I don't cater. I've seen our fans.
How ironic.
All right, here's
I don't cater.
Okay, I had mentioned
caters don't cater.
I had mentioned the nunchuck.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You want to read this?
Sure.
One? This,
now this is where it ties.
I had an original. My father had an original. My father had an original Star Trek nunchuck, and he was walking past a warehouse filled with nunchucks.
This is Michael. Hey guys, long time listener, first time.
Better not
contactor.
Be the guy where I bought my comics from.
Max Norton owes me my
$1,842.19 for six long boxes of number ones from the 80s.
I was seriously buying every title that came out. I seriously did. Like, I was buying what was that guy? Electric Warrior. I was buying that shit. Like, I don't even know what this is.
I'm waiting for the Absolute Edition. Hey, guys, long-time listener, first-time contactor. Anyway, I was writing about the Tim Bradstreet cover to Scalped issue 19. On it, Carol is holding a pair of nunchucks. Nunchaku, whatever you want to call them. I can remember you guys not having any idea why they were there, saying that Mr. Bradstreet was just throwing a photo reference.
I said that.
On the cover with no thought on what the cover should contain.
No, dude,
I was not on that episode because I would have called them out on it. Hate to do this to you guys, but Mr. Bradstreet actually thought it through pretty hard. The nunchucks belong to no one but weird sentence.
None other than
Dashiell Badhorse, our hero and protagonist of the Scalped. As a matter of fact, not only is Dashiell's first ever appearance a picture of him holding these same nunchucks behind his head, ready to hand out a royal ass whooping, but Dash is even on the cover of the first issue and the trade cover as well with those same nunchucks. Since issue 19 is all about that turbulent, violent relationship between Carol and Dash, the nunchucks make a perfect visual metaphor. Sorry, guys, can't win them all.
I still don't think it should have been on the cover.
And if this gets on the show, I fully expect you guys to talk shit about me. And when I say you guys, I mean Tom Caters.
Yeah, what a nerd. Sorry, I don't remember what the first issue, that he had nunchucks in the beginning. Maybe Tim Bradstreet shouldn't dig so deep.
Okay, Mr. Jeff Johns.
I don't know.
Oh.
I got to say, I think you might have been out of line on that one.
I'm right.
I remember the first cover because of the nunchucks.
Oh, well, yeah, because you bought comics at a fucking martial arts supply store.
Yeah, it's kind of true.
I saw that cover and I was like, why has he got nunchucks? Indians with nunchucks.
I have a pair of red, white, and blue.
Of course you
nunchucks.
Do.
Hanging in my garage
for America.
Fuck,
that's why.
Buddy.
I've had them for a long time, but they're still
in my garage.
You
should have took them when you voted.
When Teddy Roosevelt rode up that mountain in Puerto Rico with the Rough Riders, when he got to the top, he hit a Puerto Rican dude with the red, white, and blue and nunchucks.
Oh, yes.
Red, white, and blue.
I couldn't tell you why I happened to buy red, white, and blue. I was very.
I must have been very
awesome.
I was probably watching American Ninja at the time or something.
Those were purchased in the 1980s.
Oh, absolutely.
They were only made in the
1980s. Yeah. They're very rare, I'm sure.
That's for the person who wants nunchucks, but then is also like, you know what? I also am I'm a pretty big patriot.
I'm an American.
I don't want people to think I'm
Japanese or something.
Pro Japanese.
Kung Fu.
I do my kung fu for America. Now someone's going to be like, you would never use nunchucks in kung fu or some.
Yeah.
Well, it does give us a chance to talk about the brilliance of Jason Aaron and Scalp. So if you haven't checked out that series, please do so, because it continues to be a fantastic series.
Now all I'm going to notice are all the nunchucks in that series.
And you will note it every time.
Every time. Circle them, circle them, circle them.
It is a great series. And I will agree that I think Tim Bradstreet uses too much photorealism sometimes. and maybe it's...
Jason Aaron, by the way, it's something that a lot of people may not know about him. A fantastic fantasy football mind.
Only because he kicked your ass
this
week?
He kicked my ass. That doesn't make terrible. He's actually winning that league.
Fantasy football is luck.
Dude.
It is not. There's no fucking skill.
You're just saying that because I am thoroughly whipping your ass this year.
One game. You wouldn't be saying that if you were a 15th level mystic. Dungeons and Dragons
don't
isn't
me whip out my nunchucks.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to go red, white, and blue ninja
stars. And they got stars on them. They're red, white, and blue with stars. They're,
oh, you didn't say that.
Oh yeah.
Well, okay. Well, so is it like a red band, a white band, and then like blue stars?
Yeah.
Over
so, no, it's like the bottom. Like the bottom half is red.
Yeah.
Then you have. A chunk, probably like a quarter, is white, and then the top third is blue, blue with the white stars in it. Yeah, I think if I can remember
those
correctly.
Are some kick ass notes.
Shit, dude, I get some of those.
I'm gonna go with Sal next year for Halloween. I'm gonna give me some.
Go with Sal.
I'm gonna have a Sox jersey and some. Red, white, and blue nunchucks.
You got to get the Salazar family crest on the forearm.
I'm not gonna. Yeah. All
right. Hey, I want to talk about
comics.
I want to talk about some art.
As we cover pinball machines.
Yeah, nunchucks. I want to talk about some art in some comics here. The last month actually the last 2 weeks that have pretty much blown me away. The first one is a new
this
series.
This is our Chris has been blown away segment.
This is called Glow Chris.
Glow Chris with your art.
I was thinking about Future Stacks the other day.
Oh, God.
Future Stacks.
No.
All right. The first one is the new series by Rick Remender from Dark Horse Comics called Gigantic, and the art by Eric Wynn. Which fans of Detective Comics should be very aware of.
No, that's Dustin.
That's Dustin.
Oh, no. Gosh,
that's
damn.
A different.
Oh, it's a different one. This is Eric. Why do I know Eric?
Eric worked on his Strange Girl book.
Damn. Okay.
That's when you asked me,
color me is stupid.
And I'm like, Eric Wynn? Because you asked me if I was an Eric Wynn fan. I'm like, I don't really know what he's done. I can't say if I am or not.
Okay. It's art by Eric Wynn.
Dustin's estranged cousin. They don't speak.
That's why it looks familiar. It's from.
You
want to
know about when you guys so ask for examples for when I yell at 11 o'clock comics? That's one of them.
I'm not knowing anything.
No, I think you said that on that.
Dude, late at night.
Win.
Drunk.
About win.
No, I'm not. I'm,
Chris made a bit of
it's
a.
It's still
pop.
One of my favorite shows.
I got my wins confused, but still awesome.
Like Dustin because he has the same name as that dude on 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
His name was Dustin Wynn?
Yeah.
Sidetracks. All right. Hey, the art's pretty good in that, though.
Did you read Gigantic?
I did. I liked it. It threatens to be a little bit too, like, funny concept-y with, Remender and Wynn did a good job of putting enough, like, actual character into it, so it wasn't just, like, here's a cool concept.
I thought it was a great first issue.
I felt the exact same way, like, the first two pages. I'm like, oh, this is going to be kind of, you know, weird.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, by the end of it, I was like, oh, okay, this has got more meat behind it.
Threatens to be just a concept without, like, anything in it, he did a good job of...
Art-wise, looks kind of different for Eric.
It is. It may have been kind of my confusion.
Really good though.
This might be fantastic. Confused.
The art was great in it. I thought.
Yeah, it's big action, but he captures kind of the quiet moments pretty well. But the concept behind Gigantic is that
gigantic.
A little Pixies.
Yeah,
here's some Pixies.
You could have waited till after the
okay. The concept is that 5,000 years ago, an alien race created the planet Earth as the basically a big soundstage, more or less, to film
the greatest TV show in the universe.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and apparently, kind of like in mid-broadcast, to spice things up to increase ratings, they throw a gigantic robot in the middle of San Francisco.
You guys are boring. Yeah. It's like playing Sim City. It's just like, I want to put a monster now.
At the end, two of the aliens watching it are like, oh, I almost gave up in this after the last couple seasons, but this is like the best episode in a while.
No. They say, greatest episode ever.
That's awesome.
The gigantic robot is someone's in it, and he's very conscious of the fact that when he lands in San Francisco, he's killing thousands of people, and he's trying to get away. He was trying to escape somewhere else, it seems, and they
screwed him.
Yeah, they screwed him, and it's really like I said, the initial concept when you first started reading it was like they explained to you that these aliens come to Earth 5,000 years ago, whatever, and plant the seeds for the human race to be violent and controversial and warlike for this TV show. And like so, when I first started reading, I was like, I don't know, the whole
Truman Show.
It seemed like it could be really contrived.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But then, as soon as the robot showed up, which strangely enough, you wouldn't think that would be the sort of turning point in the heart of the story of a giant robot showing up, but it really was. And in the back of the book, Rick writes a pretty long couple of paragraphs on the concept and what he wanted to do with the book, and he pretty much explains it that exact way, is that he wanted the sort of fun Saturday morning cartoon or Ultraman aspect of it, but with more heart and more meat. And I think at least in this first issue, I thought
he's actually
really
got a history with big robots.
Iron Giant.
He worked on Iron Giant, the movie.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So, which is fantastic.
He's big. He's good with the concepts. He comes up with some great ideas.
He's an idea machine.
I want to tell you about Vexil real quick. Are you ready for some cyberpunk? Vexil, the 2-disc special edition, available now on DVD and Blu-ray. From the creators of Appleseed comes a CG anime movie about the dangers of cutting-edge science and robotic biotech. Geek Magazine calls Vexil balls-to-the-wall action. In the battle between man and machine, humanity stands to suffer the most. Check out the 30-minute clip from the movie at www.funimation.com/Vexil. That's VEXILLE.
Funimation.com/Vexil.
I got some other stuff,
but go ahead. Go ahead.
I wanted to mention I had just finished reading Essex County Volume 2 Ghost Stories by Jeff Lemire, Windy City Comic Con alumni.
Yeah.
Great sketch for me at Windy City Comic Con.
Yeah, awesome.
Shouldn't you have been working? Tank.
Yeah, why were you getting volunteers? Didn't we have even indentured servitude?
Yeah, what the hell?
I picked it up because I was curious about the book, and Ron actually told me that Volume 2 was his favorite one, and I didn't need to know anything about it.
It's the meatiest.
Yeah, so I picked it up, and it's if you like sad Canadians, like this is like Saw for sad Canadians. It's like it's like unrelenting. Sad Canadians inside this book. And it's about a pair of brothers who are like amateur hockey players, minor league hockey players. Like, the one brother leaves like the farm to go to the big city, and he likes living in the big city. But his other brother, who's like the more naturally gifted athlete, comes to join him for a while. But then he leaves to go back to the farm, and something happens between the less talented brother. Yeah, there's lots of like family drama and. It's told through the point of view of the less talented brother, like as he's sort of like suffering from Alzheimer's.
Yeah, he's remembering things as an old man.
So like it's sad.
It is very sad. Yeah. I read all three of them this week. I tried to get them at the show, but they didn't. He had sold out.
Yeah, me too.
So I got them and I read them all this week, and they all tie together. In a way that kind of blows your mind.
I can see the part, I think, where this one ties in. I think I can point out the point where I think the other stories tie into this one. But, I mean, it's one of those stories that's really sad, but it's only really sad because it reminds me of certain elements of my own life.
Yeah, they're all kind of morose.
Yeah.
But they all are all oddly inspirational, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
this one. I mean, even though it's a very sad story, it has some moments of like
everything can be okay.
Yeah, and the first one's like that, and the third one, and they all tie together. I could definitely see this as a movie.
Well, the thing I like most about this is how important hockey is to the story, and like how hockey is like the uplifting thing that like ties everyone. Well, like when everything. It's at its worst, like the thing that ties everyone together is they'll sit and watch like a Maple Leafs game.
Yeah.
And it sort of reminds me of like my own father, you know, as you get older and you like hate your parents, then you like your parents again, and then you want to get away from your parents, you know. But the thing that would always be in common is I would always watch football games with my dad. And that's like the one thing that would always stay exactly the same no matter what happens with everything else. So. I was like, that's sort of poignant. And I banged my brother's wife.
Oh. Don't give the story away.
It's a spoiler show. I didn't. He's not married.
In those books,
I thought you were going to say I didn't. She's ugly.
Lemire has a gift of capturing these very small moments that define part of your life, and that's part of life is that there are these small moments that are very very
not mine, they're huge
moments. He has a great feel for the small moment that is very poignant and very important.
Now I'm gonna have to go on eBay
cool like sports action moments mixed in, like that he draws.
He's
really
obviously a lover of hockey.
He loves hockey. He's Canadian.
Yeah. Well, okay. Whenever he came for the Windy City show,
he's going to a Blackhawks game.
Yeah, Jeff, are you gonna come out for the after?
Went to the Red Wings Blackhawks game.
I got hockey tickets, baby. So he didn't call me baby, but.
He's a Leafs fan.
I got hockey tickets, eh?
Hockey tickets, eh?
Yeah.
I think that's
well. If you're like, if you're me and you enjoy seeing Canadians sad, I'll pick this up.
I don't think there's anything in the world that I like more than
sad Canadians.
Yeah, Sunnyvale. Sunnyvale is yelling at the iPod right now.
I totally recommend them. In fact, I kind of wish you had read them in order because I mean
I'm gonna get the other two.
Oh, you haven't read the first one?
I have only read this one.
They
are much richer like that when you read them together. And I didn't I'd heard about the book before. That's why when he was here, I wanted to buy the books, and it didn't punch me in the gut like I had heard, but it was just as good on a different level. Like I didn't have to cry to read this book. It was.
It's all right if you wanted to.
I know.
It's a slower burn.
But reading the third one and finding out how he had tied everything together and even though it's not like a secret. It's not like a M. Night Shyamalan twist or something like that.
All the brothers were women.
Yeah, it's not like that. It's what? It's stuff that is obvious if you're paying attention while you're reading the books, but at the end and you're realizing, he's wrapped it up and this is over, and this is a really nice story. And I
just love the sound effects of Tom killing another Miller High Life tall boy. Camo
can
tall
I have
boy.
A beer?
Yeah.
You want a beer?
So,
I'll take a
high life. So the
Exus Camo.
You want a High Life?
Yeah. I'll take a High Life Camo.
Molson now that we're talking.
Oh, wait,
about
what am I drinking? No, I'll take a Sam Adams. Fuck that High Life. No offense.
Somebody give me a beer now.
Give time. Give
I don't care what it is.
Well, same as you. I went to his table to buy them because I kept hearing good things about him, and he was going to be there. And I figured I'd get him, I'd buy him and have him sign them for me. And he was all sold out, other than that second one. And I was like, well, I got to start at the beginning. So
he's a very nice guy.
So if you're listening, Jeff,
I like him a lot.
You could send me him. And
I really
I'll
hope
pay
we can
you.
Get him back next year.
And
I'd love to see him. Come
he
back
does some time. Awesome superhero drawings as well. Mr. Miracle.
Oh God, that was gorgeous. 11x17.
Gorgeous, yeah.
Big, yeah. Where he was like trapped in the page.
Yeah. He did some good Kirby-esque stuff.
He did a Daredevil for me, and it was really.
Has he
good.
Done any other work? I mean, I know him only
He's
from
doing
this.
Doing stuff for Vertigo now.
Is he?
Yeah.
Really? Well, look out for him. He's talented.
Yeah.
Look out for that young kid.
And a super nice guy.
I guess I'm going to go.
I hear his slap shot.
With your next
oh,
one.
Oh, I got so much to talk about.
I'll be quick. I'm not
going to.
Because Tom's already talked about this book a couple times. I just want to reiterate because the trade just came out recently.
Yeah.
Teen Titans Year One by Amy Wolfram and Carl Kerschel and Serge Lapointe. Lapointe?
Lapointe.
Lapointe. Yeah, Tom, you've talked about it a couple of times, I think, already on the show.
The art is gorgeous.
The art is unbelievably beautiful. The story is really good, too, and funny and entertaining and even kind of sad in certain points and that kind of thing. But even if you just bought it for the art, it would be worth every nickel. Because
Carl Kerschel to draw everything.
It is phenomenally good in it.
Amy wrote the Teen Titans Go TV series.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
She does a really good job. They do a really good job in that book in that she doesn't like overwrite dialogue and that it's still a good story without having to have tons of dialogue and like.
It's certainly very reminiscent of animation. You know, Carl's work in it. Even we were talking about earlier. You know, his style. He changed up his style for this a bit.
He's a Canadian.
It's very. It has a very animation look to it, but it's just beautiful. The colors are phenomenal in it, and it's it's just.
He should draw the Flash all the time.
Yeah,
I agree.
And he's
And I just feel so bad for Aqualad in this book.
Aqualad is awesome.
Aqualad
in that book.
Probably the only book Aqualad has ever
I
been.
I do
want awesome to
mention
in.
My favorite T-shirt that I saw at the Windy City Con was the guys that had the T-shirt of Aquaman like riding a wave, and it's in like in really fancy lettering. You're the one that's lame.
Awesome.
Like, but you had to look really closely to read it, and then you read it, and it's just Aquaman like pointing sort of at you.
Nice,
but that's, I didn't need to.
Well,
go into it too much.
That's actually brings up something interesting. We talk about these cities around the U.S. and Canada is where I'm going, but Kansas City and Portland's a great scene, and Seattle's got a good comic scene
in Canada.
Toronto.
Toronto's huge.
Look at the
it's lousy with comic people.
Darwin
can't swing a dead cat in that city.
From Toronto, and I'll forget some people. Darwin Cook, Jeff Lemire,
who?
Cameron Stewart, Carl Kerschel, Ramon Perez.
Calgary, where you're at?
Cameron
Stewart
is a man of international.
Kalman Androsofsky, Francis Manapul, Jay Torres, Scott Chandler. Well, Scott's south of there, I think.
What are they doing up in Canada?
Montreal?
They're just doing awesome.
Hockey, dude.
A lot of hot chicks are from Canada.
I'm forgetting, too.
What's
I think
up with
Adrian
that?
Alfona.
I don't know, man.
I'm moving to Canada.
I mean, Toronto has an amazing comic book scene. It's
yeah, they do.
So good Brian, for you, Canada.
Brian O'Malley? No, maybe. He's somewhere else in Canada.
Yeah, he's like
maybe Quebec. We could do like the Maple Leaf Comic Con or something.
Toronto has a good Comic Con.
Yeah, from what I hear, it's a very good one. So and it should be with the with that kind of talent. So I mean, our usual Canadian hate, we're gonna put aside for just a moment.
You guys have Canadian hate? I didn't know.
We get accused of hate.
Really?
We just always make fun of Canadians.
I listen to the show and I never hear that.
It's because it's real subtle.
Oh. I love Toronto. I'd go there every year if I could.
I would love to go to the Toronto.
I personally
Toronto
have nothing against Canada or Canadians, but it's funny to make fun of them.
I do.
But I make fun of them the same way I make fun of people from Wisconsin, so.
As you should.
Same thing.
It all flows
the same
north.
People,
the same,
yeah.
Shit flows much, north, man.
Yeah. Something that came out here a couple weeks ago was the, and I talked about it briefly on 11 o'clock, so I won't spend a whole lot of time on it here, but it was the X-Men and Spider-Man.
I was going to buy it.
It's $3.99.
$3.99.
You know what? I didn't.
Is
even,
it really?
I didn't even look at the cover. This That's is something Marvel's doing. What I'm starting to notice is that all of their miniseries are $3.99, regardless of page count. So I actually didn't notice. I didn't
Disturbing.
Notice that it was
$3.99. Wait for the trade.
I am gonna wait for the trade on this for the
art looks awesome
the remaining three issues. It's written by Christos Gage and the artist is Mario Alberti. It's he's
and Marvel's really pushing the European look, aren't they?
Dude, I described this as Mobius meets Marcos Martin.
It's very European.
It's,
yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, do you see that?
Sort of. I mean, there's elements of all kinds of people in that.
I must see like an elephant man, like
there's a Ladrone, kind of a Mortat. Okay.
Yeah, well there's almost I don't want to say it's kind of like a house style.
A European
that everybody
I hear Europe's got a good comic scene.
Yeah,
but there's a scene where it's the original Silver Age X-Men and Silver Age era Spider-Man, and it's this fun team up. If you are a
it's
fan
like a
of any of the Marvel Silver Age,
that really, art looks
kind of like pre-Marvel team up. This is really more of the
2-in-1.
Before that kind of stuff.
Also,
this is like whenever they would really just cross over from titles before there were any of the team up books. But it really has that feel.
Another artist that you
That's
might
like
not
the
immediately
60s,
think of.
60s team ups. Yeah. Totally it's, 60s team ups.
Who? Whom?
Whom? Chris Burnham.
Yeah,
sort of
yeah.
Draws
yeah,
like,
sure. yeah.
I mean, but he's really influenced by that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you check out his Elephant Man stories that are coming out.
Well, his Nixon's Pals.
He's going to be very sort of like that. If he were colored like that, he'd be a superstar.
Yeah, absolutely. Who did the coloring on this? Because it is it's that great muted color palette that I really enjoy. It looks like Alberti did his own coloring.
Yeah.
He does the
sign of a true European.
The best, most grotesque
with his mustache, his twirly
wax
mustache.
Wax myself.
I will do this myself.
He does the blob as the blob should be.
Oh,
done.
His blob, and this is phenomenal.
It's just like
this. My favorite blob since was it Pacello's blob or who did the blob in?
Those are some big man titties on that blob.
Yeah, he is the blob.
Them are some big man titties.
But he draws an awesome Spider-Man.
Big man boobs.
So,
I got one more.
I can't in good conscience tell you to go out and spend $3.99 on single issues. So, look for the trade on X-Men and Spider-Man.
Money. Yeah, they want to
spend
might
be the rich.
How much time do we have left?
We have plenty of time.
Oh,
2 minutes.
Go ahead, Tom.
I wanted to mention a book that came out from Avatar, written by Warren Ellis, with art by Gianluca Pagliarani.
Another fucking
European. It's
you got a good scene over there.
It's a graphic novella called Etheric Mechanics, and it's very much in the same. Line that Crusade came out as like it's not quite like a full graphic novel. It's not
prestige.
Quite a single issue. It's
right.
a prestige well, issue. It's a black and white story. It takes place in like alternative past, like World War I, where somehow they've developed flying machines that are based on weird physics, and there's a Sherlock Holmes analog who's in this World War I situation where England is losing the war against, like, Ruritania is whoever they're losing against. But there's a There's a really huge twist at the end that I almost don't want to spoil.
I won't give it away. I want to read it.
I mean, it completely changes what you think the story is going to be, and it almost makes me feel bad because I was like, oh shit, that could have been a longer story. And I was like, I wish Warren Ellis would have actually written more of this of this world. But it's like, it's gorgeous black and white. Or yeah, just like Chris
Sayles.
I wish
these guys would draw more backgrounds.
Good job.
Jesus empty. Christ.
Look at the yeah. It's like an English stateroom that, my God, you can see like the detail on the tile.
Yeah, it's a $6.99 prestige issue. It's awesome. It's a great story. The only thing that disappointed me about it was that it was done. And I was like, there's more that you could have done with this idea.
Holy God,
than
look at
just
that.
Like,
I know.
Than
look
this
at the
end.
City stuff, man.
God, it's like,
those Europeans are crazy like that.
Jesus.
Well, they take like a year to do a page.
Yeah. True. It's a long time. I don't know if they would do it's a great story with a fantastic twist at the end that
I really have to get this.
We talked about Avatar last week. They're a player, man. They're putting out nice stuff.
Honest to God, like 2 weeks ago I was just thinking that same thing. I was like, man, they're starting to become much more of a publisher.
It's like they're not fucking around.
Not to dismiss their previous work, but they're
not a snowman fan.
No,
but it's like Sherlock Holmes. It's like Sherlock
Holmes. You're not a Pandora fan.
No, I was never.
It's a Sherlock Holmes World War I with flying ships and like weird physics type story. With like mystery mixed in.
I'm all over it, Tom. Yeah, it's awesome. Sold me.
Do they have that here?
Sold out. I already ordered one, though.
Son of a.
He's getting more in.
Where did you buy that one, Tom?
I bought it here at Dark Tower Comics.
Yeah.
Nice. I saw it sitting on the shelf. Yeah, I mean, the only bad thing is that not a lot of detail in the art.
Yeah.
Being sarcastic.
It's practically stick figures.
Yeah, I'm being sarcastic. The art is gorgeous.
Yeah, it
black
is.
And white.
Amazingly
ridiculous. Well, I would say ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah. It is
what
ridiculous.
What is etheric?
Mechanics. It's the etheric. In the book, it's the term used to describe how they've built their flying machines.
Oh, okay.
Like the phrase is like space makes time. Yeah, it's like a weird way of thinking about faux physics type thing.
I was
goes
just
on.
Gonna guess you put the magnetic poetry together, and those were the two words.
It's that etheric mechanics. Etheric mechanics.
Just a quick shout out for something that came out this last week.
Shout out.
I was just gonna plug Scotty's free sketchbook for
yes.
The Wizard of Oz. It's free.
Yeah,
and it's cool. So
your LCS should have them.
Yeah, it's a sketchbook of all the stuff that he's done preparing for the Wizard of Oz series that he's doing.
Character designs and
which is kind of weird that I've seen a lot of it before.
Yeah,
that.
We've been looking at this shit for like a year now,
and then see it in the sketchbook. But he's really excited about the fact that they put the sketchbook out.
I would be too. I'm surprised they're doing it. That must mean that they really think they got something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Marvel only does that for stuff that that they're really going to push.
But go check it out. It's very cool stuff. I mean, he's got some really nice character designs in there, and he's
probably
been
the nicest stuff I've seen Scotty do.
He's been working really hard on it. I mean, he's really been enjoying it.
Well, he's been excited about that from day one.
Yeah. So,
Invincible Iron Man number 7, which I enjoyed quite a bit.
That's bullshit.
Isn't this the second time you've picked Invincible Iron Man?
Really
wow, I'm amazed at that.
I'm not a huge fan of LaRocca's art. I mean, he draws really good people in costumes. When they're out of the costumes, it's not quite super
it looks
solid.
Odd.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and but Matt Fraction's writing on it is awesome.
He's made for that book. I mean,
it's
he really
great,
fits it well.
As you see, there's a great interaction between Peter Parker and Iron Man, and Iron Man doesn't come across as the asshole. Peter Parker kind of comes across as like being the small-minded one because they sort of have an argument about Peter Parker's like, oh, I don't tell anyone my name because I have loved ones. I don't want to get hurt. And Iron Man's like, you think people that blow up buildings are going to care if they know what your name is? You know, like, it's an example of like how there are two characters that look
dealing with different
things. Like, Peter Parker is small-time and Tony Stark is thinking
globally.
About like, the big picture where he's like, I don't have time to worry about like,
my family.
About my family, you know, that's not my deal. And then Spider-Man, he asked him about his, you know, have you patented your web fluid? And he's like, no. And he's like, so you're just leaving billions of dollars because that's not what you would do. You know, like, you know, sort of like, call, you know, calling about. Billions of dollars on the table. Yeah, like, you know.
You couldn't do any good with that, Peter.
You're not the same as me. You don't get to criticize me for what I, you know.
White men make all the hard decisions, as we've learned from Alec, yeah. Alec Baldwin. Yes,
that was genius.
But it was a very well-written epilogue issue to the last six, because it deals with the last six issues where Terrace had used Iron Man's technology to blow up a bunch of Stark Industries buildings, and Spider-Man's working for Frontline, which is some online paper, I guess. And they go there to try and get a story about something that's going on.
It's Ben Urich's paper, right?
Ben Urich, yeah.
Yeah, so he's like trying to chase around Iron Man to also get a story. And it's really cool because it makes Iron Man not a dick, which Civil War did a really good job of making Iron Man a dick. But then you see him sort of give his point of view of, like, when you're me, you don't have time to mess around with secret identities.
The small things.
Yeah, like, you're protecting your family. I'm trying to protect everyone. So it was a really interesting interesting dynamic between them. The art was okay. I hate it when, not to bitch, but I hate it when, in a book, when someone's doing something fast and their way of doing that is to blur the image. I don't know if that's just because I'm a huge fan of old Flash comics, where I think that's like a cop-out.
I think it may be more of a production thing now, because it's all done with a computer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just never find
Photoshop.
I don't ever buy blur. It as being fast. Well, I always look at it.
I also think it's part of, like, to some degree, trying to emulate movies more in reality.
Yeah. I mean, I understand why they do it, but whenever I see them, I was like, oh, I'm like, that's not.
Yeah, they couldn't. Why didn't they draw
it's just like speed a blurry. Lines. It's just a blurry. it's just a blurry Spider-Man. But draws nice people in costumes and great Iron Man armor.
Yeah.
And I love, if you would have told me a year ago I'd be buying an Iron Man book and really enjoying it, I would have been like.
Why did you start buying that book? Because of Fraction?
Curious.
Or
yeah,
just,
I like Matt Fraction. Yeah. And he, I mean,
you like Iron Man more than Flash.
Oh, right now, yeah. That's not hard. You put out a well-written book and you win. All right. But,
I almost feel like we're caught up. It was like the month. The month and a half off. There's a few things I could chit chat about, but
we're done. We covered everything that was
what,
good.
What do we have time to talk?
We got a couple minutes. Sure.
I was going to ask what I don't know if you and Chris watch Heroes, but I know Mike's a Heroes.
I watched half an episode of Heroes once.
Yeah, I haven't watched this week's. I may not have seen last week's.
I was just wondering what you thought about the Loeb and Alexander firings.
I've got no opinion on it other than, I mean, it's probably for the best.
I was kind of surprised because I thought, like, to me, the last few
I've actually
episodes
liked
have
it.
Been the best.
I've liked it. It's almost like, I want to compare it to the whole Brand New Day thing. People made a bitch about how they got to where they got to, but once they got there, they're just like, hey, these stories ain't so bad.
It's okay.
The ending of last season and the beginning of this season were so stupid. But now that they're at where they're at, it's just like, kind of like watching the show.
I still think
it's dumber than crap. It's just entertaining to me instead of infuriating. So.
I was just surprised because I felt like the best stories have been in the last, you know, maybe five,
six
episodes. And
I think Siler as a good guy is infinitely more interesting.
Oh, it's hilarious to watch him running around like that.
I mean, I think it's dumb how he turned that way.
Well, sure.
It's almost like the, like,
was it one of those
almost classic? Like the Anakin Skywalker turn to the dark side. It just it just automatically happens. You know,
someone told him to do it.
Yeah, it's like, wow,
did.
There's no arc there at all. It's one episode, you're good, and another, it's like professional wrestling.
You go from the heel to the hero.
We don't have time for, you know, long, drawn-out stories, man. Get them good, get them evil.
Yeah, well, I think the writer's strike kind of really hurt that show, but
I still watch it. I mean, it, like...
No, I heard it last year, and... excuse me.
Are you all right?
He's choking!
A little hiccup. No, it seemed like they had a lot of story that they had to compress and kind of hurry things along last year.
So. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It was bad.
I do want to remind people, we talked about it last week, that we are entering the holiday giving season, and want to make sure that that people remember the remember the hero initiative. It's like a boys choir in here. We're talking about Mike's future here.
No, yeah,
I'm gonna need this shit.
If Chris gets his way and you don't get health care.
Especially, yeah.
The Hero Initiative is a fantastic charity that benefits veteran creators in severe crisis situations. And we're asking you here as we get into the end of the year, especially with all the economic crap that's going on, that that you give to the Hero Initiative. And it can be as little as, you know, $3, $4. 10, 20, 30, whatever you can afford. You can go to heroinitiative.org or call 310-909-7809. But we made it really easy. If you go to aroundcomics.com, we have a hero donation button, which links to their PayPal account. It is it's a great charity. It helps out veteran
creators.
Yeah.
I may have accidentally put a different email address in there.
It does. And Hero benefits veteran creators in great need. So whenever you're thinking about those Christmas gifts this year, think about spending a little of your hard-earned coin over at the Hero Initiative.org. All right. We had some great emails this week. You can contact the show at info@aroundcomics.com.
Tell us your nunchuck stories.
I'd like to thank a couple people for their iTunes music Chuck reviews. Cast. It's a great way to help the show and spread the word.
Martial Arts Equipment Cast.
I just want to thank G. Fanrick and Miguel 2K for their iTunes music reviews. Thank you, folks. And please, if you haven't already, drop by the iTunes music store and drop us a review.
Do it.
You can also come to aroundcomics.com and visit our forum. We're going to be posting that that thread about age-appropriate comics. We won't call them comics for kids, but run by there and let us know what... I just like age-appropriate. I think it sounds... It's more... You know, it's more.
If you're 80 years old, you can read
age-appropriate.
Scrooge McDuck.
I don't know. It seems kind of...
Kids don't like to read kids' comics, but...
Well, they're not reading the forum. Kids don't parents are.
Fucking know any better. They're kids.
All right.
Kids are stupid. That's why
they're comics
kids.
For kids.
Can't we learn anything from Kid Nation?
Yes.
Kids can't run shit.
Go to aroundcomics.com and visit our forum. You can also check out Tom versus the Flash a couple times a week as Tom walks you
Would
through
the...
Would
you say Invincible is appropriate?
For teenagers? Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Teenagers? If I was a teenager, I wouldn't have probably read that book.
Really?
I was like Mike. I was reading, you know, American Flag and Badger and
Porn.
Martial Law. Yeah,
you should probably read Marvel Adventures till you're 21.
Oh, you know, never mind.
No, I think of Invincible. Yeah, sure. Yeah,
I'm just wondering. I mean, there's some weird shit in there, but
yeah.
I mean, kids are.
I mean, kids these days.
I think any teenager could read Invincible and probably.
You
want to
hear a funny story about my kid the other day? What she did freaked me out.
I don't.
It's
know.
It's not weird.
I don't know if I would hear.
Kind of funny. I don't know. All right. Yes. She pulled a knife on.
Yeah, she pulled a. No, my wife and I are downstairs in the basement. My daughter's upstairs with her brother. They're playing catch or something, and all of a sudden I hear her start singing. Don't you think your good friend is hot? I'm like,
singing
what?
Pussycat Doll song.
I'm like,
so
I'm like, where did you learn that from? And I don't.
I learned it from you, Dad.
No, it wasn't me. So kids, you know, they get exposed to crap you don't want them to, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Tom versus the Flash, check that out.
Pussycat Doll.
I'm on 11 o'clock comics every week with Vince B and David Price and Wood as we stay up late at night and drink and talk about comics. It's
yell
a lot like
about
this.
Things.
The Crankcast, you guys are on your 800th episode now?
The anger is like thick now. Like the frustration.
It's starting to get.
It's like palpable.
I have been of little patience lately.
There's a lot of musical interludes in that one episode.
Yes, there are a lot. I think it's 262 is our last one. pretty good.
You guys are white clockwork, man.
Well, sort of. And if we're not, we'll make up an episode.
Evan, and
they made up every episode. Come in. Don't you guys make up every episode?
Well, no, did you not hear the last one?
I haven't heard the last one yet.
Oh, we did. We had the replacements come in. It
sounded like they were speaking from inside a drum.
It was seriously. You could say it was painful to listen to. This was actually painful to listen to. I mean, it actually hurt your ears to listen to.
It was low quality.
I did enjoy the Misfits version of Halloween, though.
Yeah, it's all crank, man. People have been telling me all week that they liked it. I was like, I don't know. I haven't heard it.
Nice. I write a little column over at ifanboy.com every couple weeks called Comic Shots. If you'd like a drink recommendation and a comic book recommendation, you can check that out there. You should go to ifanboy.com anyway and check out all of their great content. I'd like to thank everyone for being here. Tom and Mike just like got...
They started hearing you plug in stuff and.
Hank, how you doing?
I haven't been
paying attention. Sorry,
you drifted off there.
I drifted off.
What is Hillary Barta doing here?
Is Hill here?
Yeah,
that's what I hear.
Yeah,
he's here.
Hey, Hill.
You heard there was soup. I guess you're not
recording. No, he is.
So, Sal.
Yes.
Thanks for coming.
Sure.
It's just us now. They've left.
I know. We've been abandoned. We'd like to thank Mark for hosting us here at Dark Tower Comics and Collectibles, as he does every recording session.
Just end the goddamn show, will you, Chris?
Everyone have a great rest of your week and weekend. We'll be back next Monday.
Shut up!
What in blue?
Quit talking!
With another full-length episode of Around Comics. In the meantime... Sal?
No.
In between time.
Come on. Thanks, Tom. We'll be everywhere in and around comics.
Equipment.
Nunchucks.
You brought red, white, and blue nunchucks.
I didn't bring them.
You bought them.
When I was a kid.
How old were you?
Probably 14. I was pretty badass. I could use the goddamn thing.
Tattooed heart with an earth for moon, things that looks like yours. And a young girl's looking at her makeup in the mirror, a little ring on her toe. I gotta say one, two, three more things before I go on. The Sarsfield family, something on the fiddle, and a band on riding slow. And everybody's fucking with herself in the gate, got just that physical flow. I gotta say one.
Views expressed in the interviews or by guests of the show are solely those of the individuals expressing them and may not reflect the opinions of Around Comics. Any reproduction, rebroadcast, or retransmission without the express written consent of Around Comics is strictly prohibited. All content presented in this program is the sole property of Around Comics, and this has been an Around Comics production, copyright 2008.
I'd crush him.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're a patriot.
That's right. That's probably why I bought him, because I was such a huge Captain America fan.
Well, Captain America never used.
But if he would, he would have red, white, and blue ones, wouldn't he, Tom?
I got some wine.